Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim Potts back on the air. Thank you so much for joining me. This is the last show of the year, and I got to tell you, I can't believe I've been on the air now for 6 months, and it's been really good, to be honest with you. I've really enjoyed what I've been doing. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback from individuals, and it's been a great year. I'm looking forward to 2019 and being able to continue to share information with you as we move forward. And before I forget, I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody out there. I hope your 2019 is a great year, okay? All right. You know, we're going to do the year in review. And, you know, but just to talk about some things that I thought that were important throughout the year. There was a lot of great subjects that we did talk about, call-ins. And by the way, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 818-602-4929 if you want to share maybe what your favorites were throughout this year. If not, not a problem at all. At any rate, I want to I want to start off by talking about a situation with road rage. You know, I've talked on the show before about road rage and how everybody needs to keep their cool out there. And a couple of days ago, I turned around and I saw an article once again where road rage, you know, it's so impactful. And when I'm doing my trainings and my active shooter trainings as well, and my seminars that I do, or speaking in front of these different groups, I always talk about the fact of road rage. Why do you want to change your life around for a stranger? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And you really need to maintain your cool out there because you never know who you may come across. And on December 20th, there was a man in upstate New York. And he's in the hospital now because of a road rage incident that left him needing surgery. And apparently in the afternoon, this individual, Matthew Rudy, he was just driving along. And police say he was cut off by a man in the left lane, and the man then slammed on his brakes. So this guy cuts him off, slams on his brakes, and jumps out of the car and punches the guy in the face through the window. He then, because the guy was obviously dazed, he dragged the guy out of the car and brutally beat him 20 to 30 times, just punching him. 5 days before Christmas. And then the man sped off. They're looking for him. And he's described as a black male, 6 foot, 185 pounds. The victim is Caucasian. They say he's in his early 30s, and he was driving a white Hyundai Sonata. But now, this individual is looking at possibly being blind in one eye as a result of this beating. I'm telling you, this stuff is just not worth it. Now, in this particular case, we don't know, and they don't know, what this victim may have done that upset this person. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Obviously, he wasn't hurt. He was able to speed up past him and then stop the car and get out. This stuff is ridiculous. So look, once again, road rage. We're all going to be out here for the holidays. People are going to be drinking and driving. You know, keep your cool. Maintain your cool. And if somebody does something stupid, just let it go. It's just not worth changing your life and the life of your family behind somebody out there who has an anger management issue. Don't let that take your life away or change your life in any way. And anyway, so I just want to send that out there as one of the messages that I do with Road Rage. Please be careful. Okay, let's talk about the emails. I got an email. It says, Jim, I have listened to enough of your shows to know you don't like to get into the current political dramas, but what about the killing of the police officer at the hands of an illegal alien? And that's been deported before. The pictures of the police officer with his family on Christmas Day, hours before he gets killed. He's dead hours later, Jim. Trump is right. We need a wall or something. What are your thoughts? Signed by Sylvia. Well, look, you know, I've had these discussions, at different times, over these many shows that I've done about getting involved in the political pieces to this, because I think the political pieces and offering opinions about it, it's a no-win situation. Everybody's got so many different opinions out there, et cetera. I am going to be talking about this individual, police officer who did get killed. So I'm not going to go into that right now. But just in terms of my opinion, I'm not going to say what's right or wrong about the wall. I respect the fact that people may want to come here to make a living for themselves, et cetera. I do believe there should be a right way to do it. And I think that that's fine. I think there's a natural process for it. I'm not going to comment on whether a wall should be built, not built, et cetera. But I do think it's a shame that sometimes when these individuals kill people, they've been deported, they get back here, and they do these kind of crimes. You know, killing in any respect is a bad thing, no matter whether a person is legal or illegal, because there's people that get killed here from people who are citizens of the country as well. So, Sylvia, I understand what you're saying. I won't comment about, you know, the wall, but I will say, like I said, I don't think that these type of killings are a good thing in any way, shape, or form, no matter who does it. Okay, and like I said, I will talk about the police officer to give you a little bit more details out there, because I have national listeners in case they haven't heard what we're talking about with this one. Next one, Jim. Since you were doing the year in review, I just want to say my favorite episodes were the ones you did on Why Kids Kill and the one on home invasion. I thought those were, you know, those were really excellent, great tips and very informative. Just wanted to say, hopefully 2019 shows will be, you know, as good or better. They were some fantastic shows. Thanks. It's unsigned, so I'm not sure who sent it, but at any rate, the last one here. Jim, what is your opinion about sanctuary cities? These illegals hide there, and, you know, they're criminals, they kill people, and you know, and look for protection. This is wrong. This one's not signed either. Well, sanctuary cities are out there. Again, I'm not going to get into the political pieces to this, but every time one of these incidents happen and the person's an illegal, we start talking about these same issues over and over and over again. You know, it's not going to be for us to debating about these things. It's the government, our politicians. So when you have these issues about things like sanctuary cities or, you know, the wall and things of that, listen, write to your politicians. That's why they're there. You know, us debating about it's not going to really get us anywhere. We're just going to be arguing among ourselves. I mean, we have discussions in my office on some of these different topics, and it's just a vicious circle. We go round and around because everybody's got an opinion, but the reality is our opinions don't matter when we're just talking to each other. You got to take some kind of affirmative step, in my opinion. Get to the politicians, whatever your opinion is, whatever side of the aisle you're on, it doesn't matter. Get the information or get some information to them about how you feel about it. And hopefully, if enough people write about these things, these guys will all stop arguing with each other and get something done. It's one thing that I will say that this year has not brought about is that, you know, these people getting along in Washington. And it's certainly not to our benefit. It's ridiculous, to make a long story short. At any rate, I'm going to move on from there. Write to your politicians is my best suggestion on some of these things. And hopefully 2019, they'll get it together out there for the benefit of the country as a whole. All right. The next thing I do want to talk about, and this is kind of near and dear to me because it has to do with police officers and recapping this year. Do you have any idea how many police officers died in the performance of their duty this year? Now, I know a lot of people are not happy with law enforcement out there, but look, there's a lot of law enforcement, you know, personnel out there. At all different levels, state levels, county levels, city levels, federal levels. And really, these men and women are out there risking their lives to help us. And I do know mistakes get made. I understand that. It happens, you know, and sometimes it's very unfortunate that some of those situations happen, you know, by accident, or some people will say some of it's intentional. I'm not getting into, you know, those pieces of it. But the point is that the majority of the law enforcement personnel are out there really trying to help protect the citizens out there and the vicinities that they patrol. Well, there was 148 police officers killed this year. I mean, that is a lot. I mean, 50 of them were killed by gunfire. I mean, you're talking, and by the way, when I say 148, I want you to know the statistics gender-wise. It was 138 men and 10 women. And for those of you that are pet lovers out there as well, there were 27 canines that actually, and that's not part of the 148, by the way, but there was also 27 canines that died in the performance of their law enforcement duties. So, you know, that's sad also. But at any rate, the, and then we say 148, I just want to let you know that some of those were, you know, like I told you, by gunfire. Some of them were gunfire by accident, believe it or not. Automobile crashes, heart attacks while on the job. Two got struck by a train. I'm sure you saw that on the news not too long ago, where two young officers lost their lives because they got hit by a train. People get struck by vehicles, vehicle pursuits. You know, it's all across the board, to make a long story short. End of the day, 148 were killed. Now, I will tell you that the beginning of the year of 2018, we had February, March, and April all had 14 officers killed. In May, we had 18, and in June, 15. 14 more in August, 13 in October. Excuse me, November, actually. And yes, and even 7 in December. Now, when you look at this, you wonder, okay, where is it? Well, the majority of these are between California and Florida. Now, California and Florida are pretty big states. But we also had, believe it or not, we had New York also with 10. And Texas, Texas had 11. And so did the United States government. I know you don't really think about the United States government, but we have people, obviously, in law enforcement, FBI, CIA, et cetera, where 7 individuals lost their lives at that level as well. Now, the average age of these law enforcement officers was 41 years of age, 41. So just to give you that. And the average tour of duty was 12 years. So some of them were very, very experienced police officers. But, you know, when it really comes right down to it, when something happens, mistakes get made, people die in the performance of their duties by different things. They even had listed the 9/11 related illnesses. There was 14 of them. People don't think about that, but 9/11, a lot of those officers, firefighters, contracted these different diseases as a result of having inhaled the smoke from 9/11. And there's a lot of residual effects from that. And people don't think about that, but, you know, they still passed away as a result of their performance for the duties that they perform. And 26 by, I don't know if I mentioned it, 26 by automobile crash as well. So, like I said, for me, you know, police officers are out there trying their best. And, you know, it's always annoying to me to see the reactions when a white officer kills a black, you know, person, and everybody's up in arms about that. But the reality is, believe it or not, there's actually probably statistically more Caucasians that get killed in the course of a year that are shot and killed than African Americans. But yet when an African American gets killed, it's all over the news. I mean, it's just, the other ones are just unreported. But either way, it's sad. Put those emotions to the side sometimes and let the investigators do what they have to do to determine the cause of this. And I got to be honest, if in fact a police officer did something really stupid, they should pay the price like anybody else. I remember, I think it was out of Chicago, where this one police officer shot this man as he was actually walking away and shot him in the back. I think it was 12 or 13 times or whatever. So he's going through the criminal justice system. I think he even got convicted. So he deserved that. I can't say anything about that. If he made that kind of mistake for whatever reason, then he should pay the price just like anybody else. But again, keep in mind, police officers are not perfect. As much as we would like them to be, they can make mistakes like anybody else. Now, I want to take that and think about that for a moment as we talk about the situation where I was mentioning earlier about the police officer who died at the hands of the illegal alien some people want to say undocumented person, whatever you want to say is politically correct. I've got no problem with that. But here's where Mr. Officer Singh, S-I-N-G-H, he was shot and killed while conducting a vehicle stop. A vehicle stop. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, they're going to be out there around these holidays, obviously, because they're going to be looking for people who are driving under the influence to make sure that they're not out there, you know, creating either harm to themselves or harm to others. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And then approximately 3 minutes after initiating the stop, he radioed dispatch that shots had been fired, and responding officers then found him at the scene suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. You know, he was transported to a local hospital where he, in fact, passed away. Now, I mean, the sad part about it is that this man, at one time himself, was an immigrant. He went through the legal steps and processes in order to, you know, to be here legally, and he wanted to be a police officer. He was originally from Fiji. He wanted to be a police officer. He's married, and he's got a 5-month-old son that every Christmas for the rest of his life, he's going to remember the fact that his father died during the Christmas holiday like that. That's sad. There's no other way to put it. And no matter who had shot this officer, legal or illegal, it goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier. The point of the story is that he's gone, and he's left a wife and a 5-month-old son behind. And apparently, he had been on the department for 7 years. He had previously served with the Merced County Sheriff's Office as well, and also Turlock Police Department. So he had been living the dream of being a police officer, and now his life has been extinguished at the hands of somebody, as I understand it, had no business being here at all and had been deported on more than one occasion, DUI, and made his way back over here. And now he's back. This is what he's done. And now he was trying to get away because he obviously was trying to evade. And he was eventually caught in Bakersfield, which is about 200 miles from where the shooting had taken place. Now, I will tell you that he's in custody right now. But also in custody now are these other individuals that tried to help him get away. So there were 7 accomplices. Now, look. The accomplices were family and friends. His girlfriend was one of the accomplices. But you got to understand, if a person shoots and kills a police officer, there's going to be a manhunt. They're going to catch him. If you aid somebody like this, that's a felony. You're subject to going to jail. Now, look, I know people are going to say, well, wait, Jim, you know, it's family. You know, they're going to try and help a family member out. Well, you know, just understand a crime is a crime. And the moment you try to help them, it's okay to help them as long as you understand the consequences. And this is a cop killing situation. So, you know, I doubt if the juries are going to be sympathetic to the fact that you tried to help an individual. And I'm sure all of these individuals, I know what's going to happen because it's part of the judicial system where all of them are going to plead not guilty. You know, sometimes I wish people would just fess up and just go ahead and say, yep, I did it. You know, for my own reasons and whatever, and just I'll pay whatever price it is. But we end up spending all this money on taxpayer dollars, and I get it. It's part of the judicial system. They've got a right. Okay, the burden is not on them. It's on the prosecution, so don't write to me. I understand all of that, okay? You know my background. All right, now, that police officer, by the way, was only 33 years of age, in case I forgot to tell you about that. But he ended up being caught in Bakersfield. And he actually gave up. I mean, the house was surrounded. He had little choice in the matter. And so that part was at least good that he didn't try to shoot his way out of the situation and more officers get killed. So I also want to mention, by the way, that he also had he had known gang affiliations as well. Now, these 7 people that were arrested, the reason they were arrested, and this is for you all to understand also, so if a family member's done something and they come to you, they were arrested because they were either misleading the authorities about his whereabouts or aiding him and evading the authorities. All right, so it's called aiding and abetting, just to give you the jargon for that, aiding and abetting. And it could be something as simple as somebody hiding him in the back of their car and driving him to a certain point, or when the police officers come and ask, have you seen, you know, so-and-so, and you say no, when in fact you know that you have seen that individual, or you turn around and tell them, oh yeah, you know, I heard he was in Pasadena, or I heard he was here, or I heard he was there. You know, you're misleading the authorities. That right there, okay, is going to get you in trouble. You know, whether it's going to be a misdemeanor or a felony, depending on exactly what you did, you're still going to be charged. And especially if you talk about a high-profile killing, when it's the killing of a police officer especially, the manhunts are going to be on for those. I remember when I was working, we had a situation where one of our fellow officers went to break up got a call on a domestic violence situation. He goes up there, and the suspect actually got in a fight with him, but he ended up getting the best of the suspect and basically hooked him up and took him to jail. A week later, the suspect gets out of jail, calls in a phony domestic violence situation back to the house. This officer responds, and this guy is sitting, you know, in his house with a high-powered rifle, and when the deputy gets out of his car, he shoots and wounds him. He then turns around and actually ties the vehicle to ties the deputy to his vehicle, and then shoots and kills him. A number of shots, just plays target practice with him, and then drags his body, ties him, and then drags his body for miles. Well, I can tell you that eventually, same thing happened, manhunt, and he was caught. He was surrounded in the house, and I can tell you that he chose the fact that he was not going to want to give himself up, so he was actually killed in that gunfire. Actually, I think the house caught fire as well, or something like that. And you know, he never got out alive. But you know, the cop killings are always going to be news. Or if they shoot somebody, it's going to be news. It's how we individually handle those kind of situations. But please think about the families of these individuals, who every day when their loved one stops out, male or female cops, it doesn't make any difference. When they step out, they're out there to help these citizens out there. And there's always a possibility they're not going to come home. And this year, 148 did not come home to their loved ones. So our hearts can go out to them. I'm all about being supportive of police officers out there, and I ask the public in general to please be a little bit more patient, because there's more good cops out there than there are bad cops, and please keep that in mind, okay? And it always tickles me if somebody says they hate the cops, but yeah, if something happens, what do? They call 911. They'll call 911 in a heartbeat. But anyway, don't get me started on that note. Now, I will tell you that there's another sad situation. Another police officer was killed, and this was also in December. And in this particular situation, it was a call that actually came into a business. Now, you've heard me say on the show before about businesses being, you know, at the top in terms of where these active shooter situations can occur. So here is a patient at a dentist's office that got out of hand. And, you know, the office staff called the police after the man entered the business and started to create a disturbance. So Michael Smith, who's a police officer, he arrived. This was in Georgia, by the way, before I forget. He arrives, you know, to try to get the matter resolved, and the man became combative, and then the two, I guess, got into it, so Officer Smith deployed his taser, and he tased him, but the taser ended up being ineffective on this particular individual, and the man began to struggle with the officer and attempted to disarm him of his service weapon. And, you know, we're trained on that, you know, how to make sure that we're protecting ourselves or protecting that weapon, because the last thing we want is the suspect to get the weapon. And now we're unarmed, and now the suspect has our gun. Well, is what happened with that particular situation is that they struggled with the gun. Now, the gun goes off, okay? It's a single shot. The gun goes off. Now, it's not a single shot weapon. Just one shot is what I'm saying. The gun goes off and kills the suspect. And somehow the bullet also hits the officer in the face. So you're talking about a single shot, kills the suspect. The officer is shot in the face, and he's taken to the hospital, and he later dies because of complications from a single shot. Sad. And who does he leave behind? A wife and a three-year-old son. A wife and a three-year-old son. Once again, I mean, this stuff is sad. And he dies on what day? He dies on December 28th. So he didn't die right away because he initially got the wounds on December the 6th, and then he dies on December 28th. So from complications due to the gunshot wound. So again, another officer down that was coming there to assist at a dentist's office. And this is why I tell people that this business about the about businesses, how businesses have to prepare for these things. Don't ever think because you got a business, this is a dentist's office. Who's thinking that there's going to be a situation like this in their office where a man gets shot and killed, the officer is shot, all right, and now both of them end up dying as a result of what happened in that dentist's office. Sad but true. Businesses have got to prepare for these things, and they did the right thing by calling 911. Not sure about why one officer showed up. It was probably because it was during the day. A lot of times officers work at night with two. During the day, they didn't normally work with one. It's a disturbance at a dentist's office. Nobody's probably suspecting anything as in terms of it being a big deal, but you always have to be prepared. At any rate, number here is 818-602-4929. And before I forget, if you want to be made aware of the weekly shows and what's coming up, you can text Potts & Associates text that to 22828 and then enter your email address, and you'll get the email blast that goes out there to talk about what's coming up on the show. All right. Okay. One of the individuals that wrote on the emails wrote about the home invasion statistics and asked me about that one. So I kind of like that one also because this one is also about home safety, not just being out and about in the public. Now, I don't have to tell you that a home invasion is a serious event. And basically, it's a breach of trust that someone has with society because the thief wants, to take things that you have worked hard to purchase for your home. And I can tell you that despite security measures sometimes, it's difficult. Alarm systems, home invasions, they're quite often. So you can never let your guard down with this. I talk at my household about the same thing, making sure all the windows and the doors are secure and things of that nature, alarm systems that we have. But, it's not just theft that happens during a home invasion. You got to understand that as well. If they're home at the time of the crime, there's a good chance an assault can happen as well, especially if it's a woman home alone. Those situations have happened where they've been raped, et cetera. Some of these people don't care. Kidnappings have happened that way. Violent crimes have been linked to home invasions. And the most disturbing trend I will tell you is that although crime rates are going down, property crime rates are actually going up. Property crime rates are actually going up. So this is why you need to work with your neighbors to make sure that you have neighborhood watch, et cetera, that's going on. One of the calls I remember, as I recall, talked about his neighborhood, about how they're trying to reinstitute neighborhood watch. Those things are pretty good if everybody's watching out for everybody. And just do it on a block-by-block basis. Don't try to get to an area that's maybe just too big because then you can't adequately do what you have to do. Now, I will tell you that approximately 38% of assaults are reported to law enforcement officials, that happen during home invasions. And the percentage of rapes that occur because of a home invasion, believe it or not, 60%. 60%. So you've got to be prepared for these things because it can happen. And the latest statistics that 2 million homes are going to experience break-in or burglaries at some point in time in this country. 2 million. 2 million. Get those alarm systems in place. There's a plug for the alarm systems, people. Get the alarm systems in place. Make sure your home is covered and make sure you utilize it as well. All right. Now, I can tell you it's possible for these people to actually buy a set. They call them bump keys for less than $20 online. And they're going to unlock 9 out of 10 doors in the United States without difficulty. 9 out of 10. And they're called bump keys. You can look it up on the internet. But they're kind of like a universal key. So that's why you got to have more than one thing in place. So as an example, yeah, we have double locks and all of that kind of good stuff. But we also, besides that, we have alarm systems. So if they do come in and the alarm system goes off, then that's the backup. That's the backup. And police officers respond to that. Some people sometimes say, they don't respond fast enough. Well, depends upon the neighborhood in terms of how many, or I should say, the neighborhood in terms of how large the city, how large the law enforcement personnel and what they're doing at the time. Now, I'm going to give you another stat since we're recapping, just as a reminder. The estimated number of household burglaries that occur every year, 3.8 million. 3.8 million. Rates of household burglary will generally lower for higher income households than lower income households. Why? Because the higher income households have what? The security systems that I'm telling you about. The lower income may not be able to afford those kind of things, so you have to do other things. It's disheartening to drive through some neighborhoods and all you see is bars on the window and gates so they can't even get into the yard and things like that. Those things are sad and they can also be dangerous because you put these bars on the windows and bars on the door and now you have a fire. You know, it's hard to get out. So make sure that those bars are the kind that in the event of a fire, you can unlock the bars to be able to get out. Now, I can tell you that the most common type of home that experiences a home invasion, believe it or not, well, it's probably not hard to believe, mobile homes. Why? Because they are not, you know, they're not as protected the same way as, you know, as a regular home that's brick and mortar, so to speak. So mobile homes, so any of you out there that live in mobile homes, make sure you have some added security as well. Now, I'm going to give you another stat. 60% of convicted burglars avoid targeting homes with a security system. 60% of convicted burglars have stated that they avoid targeting homes with a security system. Now, there are some people that if you drive past their house, they've got the security, you know, ADT. They got all this with these signs all over the place. Now, for some people, if you can't afford it, get the sign. Get yourself a sign to stick on the front lawn. Now, I've heard two schools of thought on that. I've also heard that there are some of them out there that are smart, so that if you have a ADT system, then they know how to break the ADT system. So it's one half dozen or the other. You know, but to me, based on these percentages here, 60%, hey, get yourself a sign. Do whatever you have to do. Get that lawn sign that has that is protected by home security or something. And then, of course, is the people that say, hey, I got a home security system. It's called my Rottweiler or my German Shepherd. Well, you know, dogs can be very effective also. People don't like dogs, so they can be very effective. But do something in order to be able to protect yourself. Now, hidden statistics shine a lot of light on the trends of home invasion. Now, I can tell you one that's very, very disturbing. And I told you, 2 million homes targeted annually with these burglaries. But the average victim of home invasion will be a victim not once, but twice. You ready for that? Not once, but twice. Why? Because they don't think it can happen again. That is not true. That's why, you know, you need to be careful all the way around. Your vehicle. Make sure your vehicle stays locked when parked outside. Don't store a spare key somewhere near the door. And always lock up your doors at night and use a deadbolt and an interior chain. Although you may not be able to protect yourself against a bump key, you can add multiple layers of protection that would give you extra time to respond. You know, you can buy these things. It's similar to what they have at the hotels. You can buy these little slide locks that they kind of lift up and go across, and it's not the key. So even though, you know, if they get these bump keys, they still can't open the door because he's got these special locks on them. You can go to some of these hardware stores and buy them, and they're really very good. They're really very good. I bought a set of those for my son's house, and they work excellent. So you got some options there. So utilize it. The other thing, the cautions I always throw out there is that people always think it can't happen to them. I'm telling you, it can happen to you. So on the home invasion side, we want to make sure that you're safe, your family's safe, etc. And I know what people always say, yeah, well, if they come in my house, I'm going to blow them away because I've got this sawed-off shotgun and I got this gun and I've got this and that. Well, that's good, all right? But the other thing I want to tell you is that it's not always a stranger that commits a home invasion. Believe it or not. So it could be somebody even that you trust. So you got to be careful with that. A third of all home invasions occur when someone is at the home. Offenders were known to their victims, and 65% of violent burglaries, 65%. Now, look, I'm not trying to tell you to be paranoid, all right? So, but you got to do things that protect yourself. 61% of offenders were unarmed when violence occurred during a burglary while a resident was present. And the percentage of home invasions that occur with an offender who is armed with a firearm of some sort, it's only 12%. It's only 12%. Some of these guys are just coming in, not realizing somebody's home. They're just thieves. They're not killers, some of them. They're just thieves. So you heard what I just told you. The percentage of home invasions that occur with an offender who is armed with a firearm of some sort is only 12%. All right? Now, I remember a couple of weeks ago on one of the shows we talked about an escaped convict. I think it was either in Georgia or the Carolinas or someplace. And he went to this woman's home, and she had her CCW. Not that that mattered, because it was in her home. And he got a rude awakening when he went up in there, because she shot the heck out of him, and he died. So she learned how to protect herself. You got to understand, you got to protect yourself. Now, households residing in single family units and higher density structures of 10 or more units were least likely to be burglarized. Well, that makes sense. Why? Because it's an apartment building. There's people out there that are listening. You know how we say nosy neighbors? It's okay about nosy neighbors if it's going to help you out. In 18% of reported home invasions, the homeowner voluntarily let the offender into the home, and another 12% opened the door to have the offender push their way in. Hey, you know what I tell my wife? Somebody comes out front door, look out the side window first to see who it is. If it doesn't look right, you don't know who they are, they're not getting in. It is just that simple. They're not getting in. And we've had some situations where people have come up to the door and they look too strange and they're looking for them. We had one guy come up that wants to knock on the door because he needs money because his daughter's getting ready to fly, is flying into town, and he needs money to be able to go pick her up from the airport or some craziness like that. Well, needless to tell you, we didn't give him a dime, and we sure didn't open the door for him, just told him we couldn't help him. So this stuff could be anything. All right, sometimes people, you know, with their heart, they reach out to people, and I do understand that. So watch the home invasions. Most home invasions occur as a form of domestic violence, they say. It may be from a close family member, a dear friend, or a trusted associates. And one out of every 10 family incidents of home invasion involves a firearm to make sure the crime takes place unimpeded. All right, it's one of the most dangerous forms of this crime because many family members or close friends are willing or unwilling to report an incident that occurs so that the person can be protected from harm. Listen, if they're going to do that, you got to drop a dime on them. I don't care if family members or not. Because if they'll do it to you, they'll do it to other people. And, I mean, I understand that's noble, but the only thing that happens is it tends to build up the confidence in the intruder, and they think that they can do this to anybody, anytime, you know, if you're not willing to take some kind of action against them. All right? Now, in closing out this little piece, I will tell you the best way to make sure you don't become the victim of a home invasion is to make your home the least tempting target possible. Keep extreme valuables off-site somewhere, such as a bank deposit box. Be careful about what information you share on social network websites so that people won't be able to scout out your home and your valuables in a free time. And, you know, it's funny. People get on Facebook. Yeah, we're going out of town. We're going to Mexico for a week, or we're going to Florida, or we're going to New York for a week. What are you doing? You're advertising that you're going to be away from your home for a week. Don't do things like that. Keep your business private. If you want to share the information after you get back, hey, went to Mexico, had a great time, went to New York, had a great time, fine. But don't broadcast to the world that your house is going to be there and unprotected. All right? All right. Let's see. The last little note that I wanted to make on this one, you don't want them to scout your home. But look, if you're going to sell things, sell through authorized outlets instead of making a direct sale on a free website. If you do not make a sale of an item to a stranger, meet them somewhere in public instead of allowing them into your home. This is especially true if you're a single parent. You don't have to settle item. Then now, look, if you're selling furniture, I get it. They got to come there and look at the furniture. But have somebody else there. If you're a single parent, like a woman, have a male friend or your brother or somebody that's there so they don't know that you're a single parent. All right? Don't send that message out, you know, that, hey, I'm vulnerable. All right? That's not what you want to do. Okay. Let's keep moving. Let's look at some active shooter statistics, you guys. I'm going to tell you, the active shooter situation, active shooter scenarios, I hate to tell you, they're on the rise. All right, we talked about active shooters all throughout this whole year. You've seen it on the news. But the sad news is, as the FBI has recently reported, is that active shooter incidents are going up. They're not going down. 2016, there was 20 major active shooter incidents. 2017, there were 30 of them. All right. And the 2 years before that, by the way, it was 20 and 20. So 2014, 2015, each of those years had 20. So look at the average of that. And now it's going up even higher than that, because in 2018, it's gone up over the 30 mark. We have to be prepared for this, people. You've got to do whatever you have to do. Take the training, take classes. I'm getting ready to speak in front of an association in a couple of weeks. They call me and they ask me to come out there. Why? These are homeowners that are concerned. There's people out there that are concerned about these things. You're probably concerned about this. But don't just be concerned. Do what you have to do to learn what to do in the event that you're in an active shooter situation. Because it has to be something where you have a reaction, but not a panic reaction, but a reflex reaction. And again, I'm not telling you to be paranoid. I just want you to be careful. Now, I can tell you, since 2000, there's been 250 incidents of active shooter situations in this country. And what does that basically amount to? 2,217 people that have been killed in these active shooter situations. And that's sad. Wounded, another 1,400 people. These statistics are not going to get any better unless we really start getting prepared for these situations. Now, I would give you a quick breakdown, you know, that the that's been done in educational institutions, 20.8%. Commerce, such as business, 42%. They say 42%, and I think actually that number is a little bit higher now. But just go with that for the moment. That business has the highest number of active shooter situations than educational. Open spaces, meaning at the malls, things like that, out in general public. And the government has the least amount at 10%. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. They're at 10%, but there's less likely issues with those because of the fact that they're now, you know, heavily guarded. You know, you can't go into a government facility without going through metal detectors, things of that nature. You know, your military bases, you know, 2.8%. Residences are 4.8%. Houses of worship of 4%. We know what happened at the synagogue in Pittsburgh a few months ago. Those are still the low numbers. In healthcare facilities of 4%. But those are the statistics. But again, as you can see, businesses have a tendency to be the highest one. Now, I will tell you that the new FBI data on active shooters shows the importance of armed citizens. They are saying that millions of Americans who are ready, willing, and able to defend themselves and others should carry a gun in public. That's what the FBI is saying, because there's people out there with the CCWs, because nationally there's a lot of people that have these consents. CCWs basically is a consent to carry a concealed weapon. So they're saying that because, you know, the more citizens are being armed, but there's complications with that as well. And they also, you know, want us to be aware that the FBI puts out that the data indicates that you can stop a shooting, that an armed civilian can stop a shooting, and even if you miss. So just think about what they're saying. They're saying, hey, you can stop a shooting by having a gun, because if the gun either goes off or they see you with the gun, that could stop an active shooter situation. I think that's very dangerous for that even to be suggested. You know, they say even if you hold a person at gunpoint, but they say you must be prepared to hit your target. See, that's the problem. How does, and that's one of the things that we talked about this year. We had call-ins on that one. But listen, you know, these situations are highly stressful situations. And I keep beating this into the ground regarding this thing about civilians, you know, trying to stop an active shooter situation. I get it. But you're going to be nervous. You miss that individual, you're going to jail. I did a whole episode, as you recall, on CCW. So it's archived. Go back and listen to it. Now, take a gander at it. Now, the FBI's position is that the police can't saturate populated areas, and there's just simply not enough law enforcement personnel to go around. And we get that. When seconds count, police are minutes away. But the by definition, people do saturate populated areas as their position. And when an increasing number of those people possess carry permits, the instant response grows more likely, meaning that there's somebody right there that can do something. But look at what happened in Kentucky at this mall a few months ago. Here's a guy with a gun. It was an active shooter situation. The police got there, and he got shot because they thought he was an active shooter and came out afterwards. And now, of course, they're suing. They lost their loved ones. But, you know, my message is still the same. You put yourself in that situation, you got to be careful. The other thing is that one of the things they talk about is the fact that the law enforcement personnel, if they arrive, so this is one of the cons, by the way. One of the downsides to it is if the police arrive at an active shooter situation and everybody's waving guns, they don't know who the active shooter is at that point. So it slows the process down, which means that other people can be hurt. You know, as a result of that, law enforcement personnel can be hurt. Some of the individuals waving the guns can be hurt as well. So, I throw the caution to the wind still and saying that you need to be careful with that. Now, as you also know about school shootings this year has been a big deal because of Parkland, et cetera, Parkland, Florida, which was the Stoneman. Most people know the Stoneman Douglas, but people also know about Parkland school shooting. Now, I will tell you that they've just concluded their report about that shooting, and the report that was released found that no one took charge. Is that there was too much happening, nobody took charge, because why? People are running around trying to get out of there, do what they have to do, and the authorities failed to act, leaving children stranded with nowhere to hide, and they weren't prepared. That's what the report says. Now, I don't know. I don't know what Stoneman Douglas did in terms of the administrators, et cetera, whether or not they had practiced any of these things, had their drills. Some of the schools are doing drills. But according to this report that was released by the South Florida Sun Sentinel, they're saying that these situations, there was a failing. You know, and as a result of that failing, people died. Now, apparently, they did this and reported this for 10 months of reporting that culminated in a minute-by-minute account of the massacre that lasted nearly an hour. See, these shootings don't normally last that long, but this one lasted a long time. They were unprepared. You have to be prepared out there, people. For those of you that are in management, listen, push owners, push whoever you have to push to make sure that you get prepared for this. For those of you that are employees, push your managers. Tell them you have a concern. What should we do if something happens? You know, you got to do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen possibly in some location. Now, as you know, you've heard me say it before, we've done, pretty close to 100 businesses this year with all the different divisions and locations and things of that nature, whatever the number's been now. And we trained thousands of people. And that's because some of our clients have taken a proactive stance on this active shooter business, and they want to make sure that they are prepared in the event that something happens. Now, the last issue that I want to talk about, which was also a big issue because it involves school shootings, what has to do with teachers with guns. Teachers with guns. Look, 2017 school shootings, there were 65. 2018, it's already close to that number or has surpassed that number. People don't realize some of this about these things that are happening. And you go through the pros and cons of whether or not teachers should have guns was one of the things that we talked about. And, you know, even law enforcement feels that, and school safety experts, by the way, including teachers, school resource officers, and law enforcement organizations, they're opposing the policy. Arming teachers ignores research that shows the presence of a gun increases risk posed to children. That makes sense to me. Look, get the training, follow the training, do the lockdowns, do what you have to do. You can't expect a teacher, and some of these teachers are young. Some of the teachers are on the older side. These people are not going to be able to wield these guns and do things under these kind of stressful situations. It's not going to happen. People are going to get hurt with those guns in the schools. So that was a big issue that we talked about this year. So we'll see how that debate goes. If you notice out there now, it's all quiet on the news about teachers with guns. Why? Because there hasn't been a quote-unquote recent school shooting. But wait and see. Another school shooting? You're going to hear about all of this all over again, and we'll probably be talking about it, unfortunately, again in 2019. I hope not, But that's not what the stats show. The stats show that these things are going to continue until once again we figure this one out. And it's going to be a tough nut to crack, people, because you have these people that aren't mentally right. You have these people that are vengeful. If you want to say it's because they're being bullied, whatever the case may be, once we let Pandora out of the box with all of this, it's not going to get any better. Hopefully it will, but my thing is, be prepared. That's what I think you need to do. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for 2018. For me personally, it's been a great year. I'm looking forward to 2019. Once again, I want to wish you a happy new year, a prosperous 2019, and more importantly, a safe 2019. All right, you have been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. But let me remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. Be sure to join me next week. And by the way, if you like what you heard, do me a favor, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, be safe.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.